Week 11 is done and dusted. So let's talk about week 12. What are some moves that you should make that will help your chances in the playoffs? We got a lot of trade targets, so let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
Okay, here we is.
What up?
Week of football.
Something like
back
that.
Back at it again. Back at it again with the fresh fans.
Damn, Daniel.
It's actually funny how trends make you think of different years. Have you ever seen like those TikToks where there's like trends that were from different years and like, oh my God.
I'm still blown away that I'm
almost 30 years old. Time is flying by so fast and we're all dying every day.
Not me.
You're not?
I'm not dying.
You're not dying every day? I feel like we're all dying every day.
I think aging is a good one. We're aging every day.
Aging.
You know, like when cheese ages, doesn't mean it dies. Just gets...
We are better cheese. And better. I hope you guys are having a more bright, full morning. If that's a word, it's not. It's all good. A brighter morning than I am right now. What is wrong with me? I don't know.
What's happening?
Just dying every day. Okay, My body's decaying. I'm only 28 years old, 27. I don't even remember how old I am. And I went out for a walk the other day. My legs started hurting. Like this is who I am now.
Your legs hurt when you walk.
I'm sore. I walked. Did a walk. No, not played basketball. Not played sport. I went out for a leisurely walk. And already, I'm feeling it. This is the sign of the times. It's Wednesday, the 24th of November.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
And we've got a great podcast for you. I'm Zach. That is Badaki. First, we should talk about some news.
What is going on here?
Okay, lots of news to talk about as there is 3 games this week. And first off, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's what I said.
Well, that's what we should have started off with today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy soon to be Thanksgiving, I guess, because it's not Thanksgiving yet. But
yeah, there'll be 3 games, which we're going to talk about here soon. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints. But there's a lot of... news to cover around these games, and looks like the Cowboys are going to be without their 2 star wide receivers.
Yeah, Michael Gallup. Amari Cooper on the COVID list apparently is not vaccinated, so I think he's automatically done for this week because it's a short week. And then CeeDee Lamb has a concussion, still in concussion protocol, and I think since it is a short week, doesn't look like he's going to be coming back anytime, at least in time for Thursday night football. So, next man up, really.
Yeah. Gallup's a great start this week, and I'm sure we'll talk about him here soon. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara both did not participate in practice on Tuesday. To me, I feel like if one of these guys is going to practice, it's going to be Ingram. Or plays, rather.
Yes,
Ingram. It will be Ingram. Kamara, like I said last week, this injury still worries me, man.
Yeah, it's not the best, and... it's clear that he's not going to, it looks like he's not coming back anytime soon. I think that's maybe a big reason why they moved forward with
Ingram.
And they brought him in because they knew that Kamara was going to be dealing with this injury. Maybe the more he played, the worse it was getting. And yeah, maybe they knew that.
By the way on that, like, I don't feel like Ingram's a terrible buy low in Dynasty if you're a win now team and you just need like a flex or a running back, because not only is he signed for this year, a lot of people missed that he signed a contract extension when he went to the Saints. So he's signed for the next 2 years, and it's clear that they trust him as the, you know, second running back in this backfield. But even when Kamara is healthy, they were utilizing him quite heavily, similar to how they did before he left the first time. So just, you know, if you can send a 2022 third, I would be open to doing that. Nothing more, but.
Okay.
Just a quick little thought. For the Titans, Adrian Peterson, it did not work out. He was waived. However, there is someone who I think should be picked up. Well, you probably already did your waivers, but that's Dontrell Hilliard. I don't know if you saw his stats from Sunday, but he was utilized pretty heavily. The reason for skepticism is probably Jeremy McNichols was not playing in that game.
Yeah.
But I think he ran the ball 7 times for 35 yards, and he got 10 targets, caught 8 of them for 47 yards. So this is probably something that's not going to be consistent, but it's at least a name to... It felt like they're comfortable enough with Hilliard that they released AP. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, and that's what they, in my opinion, were trying to find. They were trying to find who can be the quote-unquote bell cow. Excuse me. So, and I guess Hilliard could be the bell cow, or it can still be McNichols, but we haven't seen that at all. But we'll see what happens moving forward. I don't think they're going to be trying to figure out what to do. They're still going to be trying to figure out what to do in the run game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it's set in stone either. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson did not participate in practice with that hamstring. He seems like a long shot to play this week. Jets quarterbacks Joe Flacco and Mike White both placed on the COVID reserve list, which means Zach Wilson will absolutely make his first start since that injury in week 12 versus the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we... I guess this is a good sign on... Can Zach Wilson, can that mold that Mike White showed us be utilized under Zach Wilson? And Flacco. Yeah, and Flacco. They both.
For Elijah Moore, right? I mean, Elijah Moore, the mold for him, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, he's been great with a bunch of different quarterbacks. And I said this on the last podcast, but he's actually, let me look this up because I don't want to get this incorrect, but in the last 4 weeks, I think he's a top 5 wide receiver in PPR formats. But this is a guy that you've been really high on. We both liked him. I have to admit, you've liked him more for sure. That we did in Dynasty that a lot of people have heard about. But it's looking like the breakout is starting to happen. They're starting to give him more and more targets, more and more opportunities, and he's proven everyone right.
Yeah, I guess they're finally realizing that how talented he is and what he can do if he does get the targets. And this is what we saw. Now, can we see it with Zach Wilson? I think that's the biggest question moving forward. Obviously, this is going to be the quarterback for that at least the next 2 years for this Jets team. So,
okay, I have this stat. I have the stat I was talking about from week 7 till now. Okay, so from week 7 onwards, Elijah Moore is the wide receiver 4 in PPR formats from week 7. Onwards. And friendly reminder, he was dealing with an injury the first week, the fourth week, the fifth week.
That's right.
So right now he's the wide receiver 38. But Aki, you made a bold statement before the year saying that he would finish as a top 15 wide receiver. There's still time for that to happen. Who knows what would have happened if he didn't deal with those injuries. But
yeah,
I mean, this is really exciting for anyone who owns Elijah Moore in Dynasty.
Yeah, in Dynasty perspective, this is absolutely fantastic, but it's still early in my opinion, and 100% we have to, but it's still very bold if he can finish in the top 15. There's still a lot of talented people out there.
Totally. I mean,
he has to get at least 20 plus points per game.
It's unlikely to happen, but you can see now where the thought process was for sure.
Yeah,
hopefully Zach Wilson is able to see that. I don't know what's going to happen with Corey Davis. Who's going to be the guy? Hard to say. Andy Dalton will start versus Lions, which makes that game even less watchable, unfortunately. Philip Lindsay released by the Texans. I wanted to quickly talk about Kenny Galladay because I'm just really confused as to why they signed him. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but
I mean,
he's not doing anything, even when he's back from the injury. What did he have last night or two nights ago?
He caught two passes. He was targeted twice, one pass.
Sorry, yeah, one catch, two targets. And he played 76% of snaps.
Look, as a Giants fan,
what do you do with him in Dynasty? Because in redraft, he's obviously someone that you don't want on your team.
I think moving forward, Kenny G, every single week I have hope for my Giants, okay? the play call, you see glimpses of how the play calling could be good. And
well, now the play call is gone, hey.
Yeah, now the play call is gone. So now there's no more excuses. And utilize every single person on the offense. You sign.
My question is, in Dynasty, what would you be willing to give up for Golladay? Like, I'm not giving up a second round pick. Yeah, I might give up a third round pick at most to get him, which is crazy from a guy who just signed so much money in the offseason to join this team.
Yeah,
biggest money cash grab for any wide receiver.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm not trading him away. I have Kenny G in a dynasty league, and I'm not going to be trading him away. I mean, this is his first year under this in this offense. Yeah. I mean, I guess now there's going to be a new offense coming. So this is going to be, you know, there was no way, in my opinion, that Jason Garrett was utilizing anyone correctly. Once again, you saw it in glimpses. You saw it. This is a perfect example. You saw it when he wanted to beat the team that he truly wanted to play. The Saints. The Saints, he went off. The Cowboys. Kadarius Toney had like 11 targets in the first half. Like something ridiculous.
You know what? Toney got a lot of targets despite not playing as many snaps as I thought he would last night. So that was interesting. But I get where you're coming from. And by the way, you said you saw it. You saw it. That's the Australian accent coming out. If anyone's listening, you can just reverse 30 seconds and listen to Badaki say, "You saw it. You saw it." You were using the R at the end of the SAW.
I mean, I don't hear it at all.
You saw it. It's the Australian accent's coming out. I was just like, wow, that was heavy right there.
I did not hear it. I did not hear it at all. So
I love it. Hey, Thanksgiving is coming. Make sure that you spend time with your family. And yeah, just eat a pumpkin pie for me. I'm hoping to have a pumpkin pie here in Australia, but
I don't like pumpkin pie.
Well, what pie do you like?
Apple pie. Rum cake.
Okay.
Yeah, rum cake.
Yeah, that's not bad. My body doesn't digest apples. So if I eat apple pie, not to get too graphic, it comes out as apple pie.
Yeah,
my body doesn't digest apples.
Why not?
I have Crohn's disease. Well, and I guess that has something to do with it. If I eat apples, however I chew them and eat them, I don't want to get too graphic. But that's how they come out.
That's nasty. So like,
it's disgusting. Yeah. So I don't eat apples.
You like apple juice?
Love apple juice. I will drink apple juice. Yeah, no problem there. But that's because it's in a juice form.
Right. Interesting.
Juice world. All right. There's actually three matchups to talk about. So let's get to that before people just start throwing up and turn the podcast off.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
Okay. Thanksgiving Day, ladies and gentlemen. We are on to Thanksgiving Day. The 3-7 Chicago Bears at the 0-9-1 Lions. My question is, I know it's a tradition, but how long do we allow the Lions to be a tradition for Thanksgiving? Because at some point, I guess a tradition's a tradition. I don't know. It just feels like we're wasting a lot of time here.
I mean, what other teams is tradition? Could be a tradition, you know, like
Cowboys. I would say is a tradition on Thursday. Cowboys and Washington normally play, but they're not. Well, they're not.
It's always
NFC East,
like Packers, Bears, Lions. I don't think we see. Yeah, we saw the Vikings. Didn't we see the Vikings 1 year? Yeah, we saw Vikings. Mm. So, I mean, the Raiders. By the way, is new. I think
I forgot about this drop, but I just wanted to.
I got beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
It's going to be a good day. Obviously, this will be a Friday for us, and this game will start at 4 a.m., but
yeah,
I'll probably still wake up to watch it, to be honest, just because it's Thanksgiving.
I thought about it, and then I was like,
Just rewatch it?
I'll just rewatch it because the only player I have on this team is Swift, and Justin Fields is not playing.
Yeah, I know. I was really hoping Fields would play in this, but what can you do? I mean, I felt like last week he would have an okay game. And I think all the throws that Dalton made, he would have made, to be honest. I feel confident that the screen pass to Mooney was a touchdown. He can throw a screen pass. And I felt like this was going to be a statement game for him versus the Lions, but unfortunately we're not going to be able to see that. Dalton is starting. Montgomery feels like he should be a really, really good start this week, despite not being good last week. He's right. Clearly the guy, and if there's any get-right matchup, it's the Lions.
I agree. I definitely agree. I mean, Monty, we said it all year long that he has one of the best schedules moving forward, and it's going to turn around. I think it turns around here, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is where it starts. By the way, he played the Lions. That's the last game he played before he had that injury, that knee injury. I'll just tell you the stat line versus the Lions. Week 4, last game before he got injured this year,
mm-hmm.
23 carries, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 22.6 points. So I feel like that's realistic to happen again. I'm not saying it will 100% happen again, but I feel like a touchdown is pretty safe to bet on for Monty in this matchup.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's going to be eating that turkey at the end of the game.
How about Mooney? I think Mooney might be the only other person that you could start with relative confidence.
Yeah.
Coming off 16 targets.
Yeah, Mooney, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I wonder if... I mean,
because even watching that game, when Dalton was in, he was still targeting
Mooney. Yeah, he was targeting Mooney. So, yeah, I agree. Mooney and Monty are the guys that you start. I don't think you can start anyone else. I know people are probably asking about Cole Kmet. I don't think I'm starting him or Allen Robinson. So, now I'm going to just stick with Monty and Mooney. Eminem.
Yeah, Swift and TJ is the obvious people to start on Detroit's side of the ball.
Yeah.
Swift is always going to make that one play, and TJ had a nice bounce back, coming off a goose week. He has 8 targets, 6 catches. So again, this is the tight end position, but I think you can start him. So that will be how we start our day on Thanksgiving. And then the midday game,
at least
5-5 Raiders at the 7-3 Cowboys.
At least... these teams, the bad game is first. Get out the way.
Yeah,
The food is still cooking. Game's boring. Maybe spend time with family, play a board game, and then it's like, oh, shit, grab a plate because the Raiders and Cowboys are about to play.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the game. So when you eat your first set of Thanksgiving meal, this is the game that you fall asleep to after you've already eaten and the coma sets in, right? So this is the first coma. You've had your turkey, you've had your mashed potatoes, your mac and cheese, whatever it is, your apple pie, pumpkin pie. And now you're watching this game and you fall asleep during it. And then you wake up,
mm-hmm.
Because you'll probably fall asleep five times. And then you wake up to watch the Raiders and Cowboys. So
yeah,
Raiders at Cowboys. Cowboys did not look good last week. And to be fair, neither did the Raiders, but the Chiefs defense looked pretty good. We have to give that to them. I think that the Chiefs defense is arguably better than the Raiders. Jesus. The Raiders defense right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with the addition that the Chiefs made of Melvin Ingram and getting Chris Jones back. So this feels like a bounce back game for all the Cowboys that you can start, Dak, Zeke. But let's talk specifically about Michael Gallup. He probably moves into the must start category for me this week as a flex option.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I said in the waiver wires, he now turns into the wide receiver one purely because Amari and CeeDee Lamb is out. And then obviously the next man up, in my opinion, is Cedric Wilson. And then Dalton Schultz. I do believe Dalton Schultz will see a lot of targets. We saw him getting targeted in the second half when CeeDee Lamb kind of went down.
8 targets in that game versus Kansas City.
Yeah, over 11 fantasy points. He was on the field 99% of the time. I think the highest of the whole year, obviously, because they were injured. I expect the exact same game. I expect him to find the end zone in this game. I won't be surprised if Schultz scores a touchdown in this game, in my opinion.
So he becomes a good start. Gallup becomes a good start. Is there anyone else that you would be comfortable starting on this team?
I think Cedric Wilson could be it's like a step right
desperation
before
start.
Hail Mary. Like, I feel like it's desperation.
It's not a Hail Mary, but it's like, hey, anything could happen here.
Yeah, like I won't be surprised that if he finds the end zone as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, his best fantasy day was in week 8 versus Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
3 catches on 3 targets for 84 yards and a touchdown. However, he has scored a touchdown in 3 different games. So it's not impossible. It's not impossible. And he'll definitely step into that wide receiver 2 role. So there are worse players to play in worse offenses. So Waller had a nice bounce back game last week. And I don't see a reason why this production shouldn't continue going to Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly the number one guy there. Finally, I guess not having a bounce back. Well, he did have a bounce back, but the week before he did terrible against Kansas City.
The targets have always been there. It's just not panned out to fantasy relevancy, unfortunately.
His yards per catch is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And it's also frustrating. He only has 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns on the year. Mm. Like, that is really what's separating him from being that elite guy. If there was even 3 to 4 more touchdowns, that draft pick wouldn't feel like a waste. But as of right now, it does. And he's the tight end 3. It's crazy that we're saying it feels like a waste. And he's the tight end 3. But you start Waller, obviously. I think you can start Derek Carr if you want to stream. There's probably better options. How about Josh Jacobs? What's your confidence level on Josh Jacobs after a couple bad weeks?
I think you start him this week as well. I mean, I don't see in the world you can start anyone else. You know, like, you're not starting a Miles. You're not starting Miles Gaskin. You're not starting a Damian Harris. You're not starting, a Freeman over Josh Jacobs or any of those guys. I'm still confident Josh Jacobs. I mean, another opportunity. He can't find the end zone.
Yeah, and to be fair, the last 2 games he's played in game scripts where they've been down a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, like Kansas City destroyed them. Cincinnati destroyed them. Joe Mixon did his thing, and they just owned the time of possession. But the light at the end of the tunnel is he has been getting a lot of targets.
Yeah.
And that is an area of his game it looks like they're trying to develop. Maybe this is a bounce back game for him, but you're right. I don't think there's many people that you can start over him.
Yeah, I also think that, like, we have to take into consideration that Dak doesn't have his 2 top guys. It may seem like Dak can make anyone fantasy relevant, but we really haven't seen that. So we need to really take that into consideration as well to be like, you know what?
For sure.
Well, his 2 number one guys are out. Cedric Wilson can drop a ball. Michael Gallup can get locked down. At least the expectation is that he could get locked down. So it could be a tough game for both of these teams.
Yeah, agreed. Hunter Renfrow, the wide receiver 27 in PPR leagues, coming off one of his worst games. That is actually his 2nd worst game. And he got 7.5 points.
Yeah.
That is a pretty reliable wide receiver right there. I think you can start him again. I think the expectation should be 10 to 15 PPR points.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you start Waller. It's a good flex start, in my opinion. Set and forget it, I think, with Hunter Renfrow, unless you have another option.
Yeah. All right, the 6-4 Bills at the 5-5 Saints. The Saints have done some special things on holiday games. Let's not forget last year, Alvin Kamara on Christmas, I think it was. 6 touchdowns. He's probably not going to play, which makes this game less interesting. If Kamara is not out there, Jameis isn't out there, Michael Thomas isn't out there, Adam Troutman after a good game isn't out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch Saints games at the moment, if I'm honest with you, because there's just not many explosive plays and inconsistent quarterback play. Mark Ingram, if he plays and Alvin Kamara misses this game, is probably the only person I'm comfortable starting. And I don't even want to start Mark Ingram against this Bills defense. I know Jonathan Taylor went crazy, but that was Jonathan Taylor. Probably the most talented running back in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Ingram is not the same person. You know, game script matters with Mark Ingram.
I was just going to say, I won't be surprised if Ingram gets to work in the air as well. I mean, as we've seen since he's joined the team last 3 weeks, 5 targets, 7 targets, 8 targets. So he's getting the work in the air as well.
For sure.
So
presents a safe floor.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy with him getting 8 to 12 points. I can see that definitely happening. Maybe they have a drive where they're in the goal line. He finds the end zone. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he is the vet. He knows his offense like the back of his hand. He can run the team, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
Could be worse. Over the Bills, but he can definitely run the team.
Yeah, it could definitely be worse for Mark Ingram. I mean, there's worse options out there to start.
I guess the biggest question is...
lower your expectations.
Why did they extend Taysom Hill's contract for 4 years?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Because the part that's confusing about this is it's not even like Taysom's...
the quarterback.
...been a massive part of this team after the injury to...
Jameis. Yeah.
You know, he's been in the weird hybrid role and uninvolved. Actually, if you look at his snap percentages, last week, I don't know what happened. He didn't play. The week before that, 31%. The week before that, 22%. So I know that we love Taysom Hill, but why are you paying him at minimum $10 million a year? That's at minimum what he's getting. Maximum, he could get like $20 million a year or something like that.
Well, this deal includes $22 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere up to $40 million.
So strange. Essentially, if he doesn't play quarterback, it's around $10 million a year. If he does play quarterback, it moves up to around $20 million a year. I don't know how that contract works, but I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense to me. And how can the Saints continually pay...
and having a terrible salary cap. They have no money.
Yeah, exactly.
They were one of the worst teams coming into this year. With salary cap. And had no money. And hey, you know what? We're just going to give Taysom Hill $20 million plus.
Yeah, salary cap does not exist. It's actually a figment of our imaginations. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And it's not clear. It doesn't make me understand what's going to happen in the future with this team.
I agree.
This team feels like it could be stuck in mediocrity for a while, to be honest. Unless they make a big trade for a quarterback in the offseason. But the cap doesn't look good, but they can do anything they want to.
Yep, we'll see.
Bills, after a hot start, they're now having some struggles. After they beat Kansas City, where everyone said this team's going to win the Super Bowl, since then, it's been pretty up and down. Mm-hmm. They got destroyed by the Colts, who are one of the hottest teams. 6-4 now. They've been struggling on defense. Josh Allen's been struggling. This rushing attack has been struggling outside of playing the Jets. Is this a bounce back game against a good defense? What do we see this game script looking like?
I mean, it has to be the bounce back game. They have to win here to compete, essentially. You know, the Patriots are not too far behind them. In this conference, so I think they need to win. They truly do.
Yeah, actually, the Patriots are,
I think, a game and a half behind, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the Patriots are ahead of the Bills right now.
You kidding?
They are leading the AFC East. They are 7-4. The Bills are 6-4.
Oh shit! I didn't.
The Patriots. Know it's crazy to say this, but they are legit. They could make a run in the playoffs.
Mac
they could
Jones.
Make a real run in the playoffs.
That's the guy.
Josh Allen, you start him. Diggs, you start him. I don't feel like there's any running back, unfortunately, on this team that I feel comfortable starting, though.
I agree.
Who knows who is going to... And Matt Breida is, for some reason, getting more work lately.
Matt Breida.
I know he's quick, but just doesn't make much sense. How about Beasley and Sanders? What's your confidence level on these two guys?
I'm not confident at all with these guys, to be completely honest.
Sanders has been a letdown. Same with Beasley.
Yeah, they've both been a letdown the last 2 weeks. Sanders with 5 points and 5 points last week, 7 points Beasley the week after.
Six.
Yeah, Beasley was six. So, I mean, it's not exciting. And then three points the week before, you know. And like, look at the matchups, too. Like, Jets, Indy.
Yeah, they've been good.
You know, like, they didn't really perform in areas when they needed to, or at least when we expected them to. So yeah. I'm not excited for them, but a guy that I am excited for is Dawson Knox. I think you can go ahead and start him. He came back, was on the field for the highest Snap count, 98% snaps. Snap count with 10 targets. He caught 6 out of those 10 targets. Obviously, it was because of game script, 14 fantasy points. I think it continues. He likes this guy. I think he finds the end zone this week as well.
Game script definitely helped him for sure. But, you know, I guess the hope is that he finds the end zone in games where he doesn't have this kind of yardage. Because he led the team in targets, catches, receiving yards, just didn't get a touchdown. So, but this is pretty hopeful if you held on to him in your IR.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Thanksgiving. It's going to be fun. One last time.
I got beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
ribs. Talk it up.
Beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, okay. Chicken, turkey,
no name.
Beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs. Beans, creams, potatoes,
tomatoes. I wish I was in America for Thanksgiving. I can't even cap. Well, this is actually a trade targets podcast. There's a lot of matchups on Thursday night. So let's actually transition into trade targets.
To trade this dude and don't even get a first round pick, it's damn near a fireable offense. Clearly because of emotion, because it makes no football sense whatsoever.
Okay.
Clearly.
As always, clearly we have 6 trade fours, 2 tradeaways. You know the deal here. Badaki, who's your first trade for this week?
My first trade for target is DeAndre Hopkins. And once again, this is if you are in a position in the playoff, you know, pushing into the playoffs, this is a guy. Yeah. He is the guy. Yeah. He's the number one receiver on this team. I think Kyler Murray and D-Hop are going to come back after the bye. There is a bye week. They're on a bye week currently. But once they come back, I do believe he's a top 8 talented wide receiver. He comes in. He's going to be the guy. I think they're going to get him integrated. They're going to get them. They have to get themselves back ready. You know, they had to make a push into the playoffs. They've been out off the field 3-4 plus weeks now. And I think it's a safe floor. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, he's probably been a letdown probably where you drafted him, but
yeah, mainly because of injury.
Really. Yeah, exactly. So I think even if he gets 12 to 15 points, you're happy with it. And plus the schedule is decent after the bye week, the Chicago Bears, the Rams, Detroit, and then Indy with Dallas to finish off the playoffs. And I do believe he is going to be consistent throughout all those weeks.
Yeah. Do you feel like he's coming back this week with that hamstring? And are you worried about re-aggravation, or are these just things that you're using to trade for him?
Yeah, I mean,
like, is that ammunition you're going
to
use?
Yeah, that's definitely could be ammunition. Personally, though, I'm not worried. I think he's rested enough. They didn't have to bring him back and rush him and say, you know what? Hey, D-Hop, take your time. You know, I think, yes, they are talented. Colt McCoy has won them a couple games, but he is the main focus. And it's clear that everyone else, you know, A.J. Green is there and Rondell Moore, they can definitely help. But, you know, I think to me, D-Hop is the guy, and I don't think he'll get hurt again, in my opinion.
I think about the DeAndre Hopkins owner, and there's a good chance that they are hurting as a team after missing him essentially for 4 straight weeks. Now 5, if you count the bye. I mean, he played in Green Bay, but he really only played a couple plays, injured his hamstring again. So
yeah,
I think about in trades, probably this team is a 2-3-4 win team, and they could use the help. They need a starter this week to make it. So I think DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, he's definitely a good look.
Mm-hmm.
DK Metcalf is my first trade for target, averaging less than 6.5 PPR points per game since Russell Wilson came back. I'll say that again. Since Russ came back, less than 6.5 PPR points per game. It's been bad. It's been real bad.
Just terrible.
But he has had 8 targets in each of those games. And I don't know if you guys watched that game in full last week. I did. Was very invested in both DK and Russ. And DK was so, so close to an amazing one-handed catch in the end zone. Unfortunately, he just did not have control in time. But that is the talent of a DK Metcalf.
Mm.
The combination of the hands, the size, the speed. I believe in DK as a talent. This really comes down to 2 big factors. And you're going to have to ask yourself this question. Number one, do you believe in Russell Wilson? Right now, it doesn't look good.
Right.
Okay. It's obvious that the finger is hampering him. He doesn't look fully himself. He's missing throws that he normally makes. But I feel like it's only going to get better and better. I'm not a doctor. I have injured my fingers before.
I'm not a doctor.
Time. Not a doctor. However, with fingers, once you get to a point where it's functional, they actually heal quite quickly. I mean, Chris Godwin, you know, when he had that finger surgery, came back in 3 weeks. Then he was really like a top 10 wide receiver onwards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he doesn't throw the ball, but fingers, they heal quite quickly. So I really do believe that Russ is going to figure it out. He is a competitor. You think Russell Wilson feels good about the last 2 weeks? My guy said that in recovery, he was spending 17 hours a day recovering. Best believe he's on the practice field and putting in extra work right now. I believe in Russ. I believe in what I've seen in the totality of his career. I think he's going to be better. And the schedule isn't bad upcoming. My second question that you have to ask yourself is, do you believe the offense gets better? It's looked bad lately. This might sound crazy, but I didn't actually hate all of what I saw from the offense last week versus the Cardinals. I didn't hate it. In my opinion, they just could not find ways to finish drives off with touchdowns. They were able to drive the ball downfield. They were able to have a good run game despite their terrible running backs. Russ was able to find the little dump off passes to the tight end, to Tyler Lockett. And I still saw signs of him scrambling and extending plays. I don't remember if you saw that one play where he threw it to Tyler Lockett. That is what Russ can do. And it can be DK Metcalf as well. So, I mean, this could actually be for Lockett and Metcalf. Both are good buy lows. I believe in Pete Carroll, Russ, DK, Lockett to figure this out and adjust. Their next three games, Washington, Monday Night Football, by the way. I'm in a super flex league where I have Taylor Heineke, DK Metcalf, and Russell Wilson all playing on Monday night this week. It's extremely scary, but it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yep.
Washington this week. Then San Francisco, banged up secondary, and then Houston. So if you want a good run of games coming up, these are three games that they could all use as get-right games, and especially Washington on Monday Night Football. That feels like a get-right game for this Seattle offense. So DK is my first trade for.
Yeah, I love it, DK. I have him in multiple leagues. I think he will bounce back, and I do believe in Russ. So it's all Gucci. And my second trade for target is Miles Sanders, and I know this sounds crazy, and I know this – it's probably already too late, to be honest. But I'm still taking a chance on Miles. If you are in a position, once again, to trade for maybe this guy alone, hey, just in case, you never know what's going to happen. 16 carries, 94 yards last week. He played well, and then he had the fumble. Then Nick Sirianni said, you know what, go in the corner, stare in the wall. You're going to be on timeout for the rest of the game, essentially.
Bad boy.
Yeah, you've been a bad boy. And he didn't get any more love. I mean... No. I think if he continued on pace, he probably would have had maybe 150, you know, probably over 12 points in my personal opinion. I think that's good. That's a good bounce back game for Miles Sanders. If you see Miles Sanders with 12 points, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's okay. Yeah. You know, like with Jalen Hurts, you know, stealing the goal line touchdowns. I believe in Miles Sanders moving forward. Look, and this was against a very good Saints defense that stops the run, or supposed to be good, supposed to be stopping the run. But I look at his rest of the season schedule. Yes, he still has a bye. This is how you sell it. He has a bye week. Miles is not the guy. He fumbled, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of the season schedule, if you do need a running back, maybe even a flex, let's say you're struggling, he plays the Giants next week and then the Jets in week 13. Then he has a bye. But during the playoffs, Washington, the Giants, and then Washington again. All teams that give up a lot of points to the running back position. I mean, why not take a chance on Miles Sanders if you are in the position to get someone on the low, especially someone like Miles? I mean,
I like the talent.
Yeah.
Love the talent. It almost reminds me of like an Antonio Gibson situation. Mm. Like game script is going to heavily determine his involvement. And I'm not so certain of what he'll do through the air. That's my only worry. The talent isn't the worry.
I think you
can use that as ammunition to buy him as well.
I mean, I know this may sound crazy, and I don't think... I mean, unless you can really swindle somebody. Let me just double check what he got. Never mind. I was going to say Darrell Williams, but that's too low ball.
Yeah, he might be able to do it. He's got
the work. I mean, five carries, he got worked out of the air, only 3 points. Yeah. So people are going to look at that and be like, eh.
Yeah. I don't hate it. Miles Sanders, I think we have to agree it's a riskier move. But if you don't have to give up much, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, my next trade for is someone that was on the trade for last week, but I still think that no one's talking about him because he's injured, and I think it's a move that you can make. There's a lot of teams who have Kareem Hunt, who is my trade for, who might be struggling right now after missing him for 5 weeks, I believe. This is an underrated move that you have to consider. Again, you only make this move if you're already looking like you're going to make the playoffs, but right. He is one of, if not the best, running back 2/flex. I still believe in him. And it's not a coincidence that this team has struggled so much without him. Before Kareem Hunt's injury, he was the running back 9 in PPR formats. He had 5 touchdowns in 6 games, and he was used on the goal line more than Nick Chubb was. I don't think it was a coincidence. I think it was part of their game plan. When he comes back, I view him instantly as a top 15 to 20 PPR play at the running back position. He was injured 5 weeks ago, and the report was that he would be out 4 to 6 weeks. So they have a bye week next week, week 13. I don't think he plays until after that bye, so you probably get him week 14. From week 14 onwards, it's Baltimore, Las Vegas, Green Bay, all teams that give up a decent amount of points to running backs. And regardless, I feel like these are all teams that can score a lot of points. Baltimore, the Raiders, and the Packers. That's not good if you own Nick Chubb, but if you own Kareem Hunt, that's not the worst case because he will probably get 5 to 7 targets in all of these games. And in PPR leagues, he presents a really safe floor. No one's talking about Kareem. I haven't had a conversation with anyone about Kareem in any leagues since he got injured.
Right.
And I think he's a really, really good buy low that a lot of people are missing out on. So this is probably your last chance to go get him before the bye week happens. And there's reports that he's probably going to come back.
Yeah. I like Kareem Hunt. Hopefully he does come back and gets healthy. And I mean, he was doing great. I like him. He was doing really good.
Yeah. RB9 before he got injured. He was more valuable than Chubb.
Good old Chubby. My last trade for target is CD Lamb. And once again, if you are in the position, all these guys, if you're in a position to make this trade.
It's all playoffs.
Yeah, it's all about playoffs. There's another guy, in my opinion, you should take a chance on here. Yes, he's hurt, and he most likely will miss Thursday night football, which is okay. Okay? I think you should look at his schedule. I think, once again, that this is the most important thing. This is what I'm looking for during playoffs. You know, playoff schedule. You know, the strength of schedule. Obviously, he's out week 12. Week 13, moving forward, New Orleans, Washington, the Giants, Washington, and then Arizona. Once again, all teams that give up a lot of points to wide receivers. Surprisingly, CeeDee Lamb, which it doesn't feel like it, he's wide receiver 12.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he had a couple up and down games. You know, week 9 against Denver, 4 points. Week 4 against Carolina, 3. Week 3 against Philly, 9 points.
And yeah, it's been up and down for sure.
It's been up and down, but those are the teams that have been really good on defense against the wide receiver. But if you look at the teams that obviously haven't been good on defense, week 5 against the Giants, 18 points. Week 8 against Minnesota, over 17 points. Week 10 against Atlanta, 28 points. Obviously, they blew them out, essentially. But, like, all those guys and then all those teams gave up a lot of points to the wide receiver. And once again, the playoffs, in my opinion, all these teams actually do give up a lot of points to the wide receiver position. And I can confidently say that he will guarantee get you at least 15 points each week during the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely a guy. I like it. I like it. And probably a guy you wouldn't have had a window of opportunity to trade for unless the injury happens. Now that it happens.
People are desperate.
Yeah. All right, I got another ghost name for you.
Here we go.
Here's the mystery trade target of the week. If y'all don't know how this works, I have been doing this for 3 weeks now. Bring a mystery trade target. I'll give you information and you can pause the podcast at any point and make a guess or just say it out loud to yourself. Or if your friend's there listening with you or your wife is there, just actually pause right now, take your headphones out and make your wife listen with you. So if you
go get a friend,
guess correctly, or your friend. Girlfriend.
I'm actually guessing with you because I actually don't know the person.
Or husband. You know, just take it out right now. This is your time to flex on someone if you guess this correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you some hints on who this player is, who my last trade target is. He's averaging just under, again, shout out, at any time that you want, averaging just under 7.5 targets per game. Okay. Mm-hmm. Averaging just under 7.5 targets per game. He's been injured a lot this season. A lot. Don't use Google. Okay. Just, I see your hands. Yep. Put your hands up. He's been injured a lot this season, which leaves him currently ranked as the 124th ranked player at his position. He is ranked 124th at his position. Okay.
Right.
He has just recently stepped into a big role. It could be temporary in an explosive offense. Okay. Do you want to make a guess or should I
I have a pretty good idea who this is.
Okay. He's already had his bye week. Mm-hmm. Very talented. I think this next one's going to give it away. He needs to ball out in order to get a big contract in the offseason. So he is he's going to be a free agent this offseason. I think you should know who it is by now.
Yeah.
So
that's what gave it away. So Sohn Talented needs to ball out to get a big money contract this offseason because he is a free agent. It's Michael Gallup.
It is Michael Gallup. Yeah. We have a winner. Well done if you guessed Michael Gallup. By the way, fourth easiest remaining strength of schedule, similar to what Badaki said, even if CD and Amari comes back, would it surprise anyone if Amari had a hamstring injury, had a knee injury? This is someone who deals with injuries
exactly
constantly. And the offense is explosive enough that even if those guys are playing, I see him getting into the end zone a couple of weeks and having a good role. When all three of these wide receivers are here, it's Schultz who takes the back seat, not Gallup. It's Schultz. So I see him as a really good buy low. This is really easy to sell to someone. And I'm making this move if I need to win this week. If I need to win this week, I think he has a great game as the wide receiver one. And all the ammunition is there. Hey, CD's going to come back. Amari's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Schultz is involved. You have all the ammunition you need to make this trade. It's a temporary fix, but I don't hate flexing him even when these guys come back.
Yeah.
Always like the mystery.
Two Cowboys back to back.
The mystery trade for. Yeah. Back to back. All right. We're going to give you two tradeaways now. We take no pleasure in telling you to trade away these guys, but we got to do what we got to do. Damian Harris is my first trade away. Currently the running back 23. His next 3 weeks, okay, Tennessee, up and down as a defense, have improved. Then Buffalo, despite what we saw from Jonathan Taylor, a very good run defense, and then a bye week. I am not super confident in Damian Harris for the next 3 weeks. Tennessee has improved as a defense. Buffalo is probably the best defense despite what we saw last week. And then you're not even going to be able to use him in the next 3 weeks during that bye week. His playoff schedule doesn't get much better. Indianapolis the first week, then Buffalo again, and then Jacksonville. So Jacksonville's a good matchup, but I mean, you got to get to the final, you know, and Indianapolis and Buffalo are not good playoff schedules. And probably the biggest reason why I'm wanting to ship off Harris is because of Ramondre Stevenson. I really think Stevenson is slowly turning this into a 50-50 split backfield. He played like an all-star in Harris's absence. In his absence. Last week, check out their snap percentages last week. Shout out to Abstinence Everywhere. Damian Harris, 39% snaps last week. Stevenson, 34%. I think this is only going to get more and more even as the weeks go on. Bolden's going to get a little bit of work. Harris is going to get his fair share of snaps and Stevenson. And while Harris played well versus Atlanta, there were good plays. Stevenson outplayed him. We have to be honest. Stevenson outplayed him. There was one run that was called back because of holding. I don't know if you saw that run.
So it was on,
he was supposed to be tackled.
Top of the sideline, and then he breaks the tackle and he runs. Yeah, I remember that.
He was supposed to be tackled in the backfield, makes two defenders miss, rushes to the out, and makes like three more defenders. It was insane. So, so talented. There comes a point where you can't hold a player back because of their talent. It actually hurts this offense. It hurts fantasy because I don't think Stevenson or Harris are going to be valuable enough to rely on anymore, but it helps the team. So Harris is a guy right now, the running back 23. I still think people view him highly, but I genuinely do believe that his best fantasy days this year are probably behind him considering the schedule. And I just don't see a likelihood that he gets 50% of snaps anymore. It's probably under 50% from this point onwards.
Yeah.
Between Stevenson and Bolden.
Yeah, it definitely could. It definitely, the snap percentage is what scares me. The teams actually don't scare me, surprisingly, because Buffalo are both divisional games. So I think, you know, Belichick understands them. But yeah, it's a weird concept. Like I get
unfortunately, unfortunately there's not the Jets or the, you know, like the Jet games the Miami, that you can rely on, or the Miami games that you can rely on anymore. Those are all done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there we go, talking about Miami. My next trade for target is Myles Gaskin, running back
trade
from
away.
Miami, trade away, running back for the Miami Dolphins here. Look, had an up and down season. Surprisingly, he's running back 16 on the year. These are all things. Yeah. This is how you sell him, okay? Running back 16 on the year. He's finishing higher currently. Dalvin, Gibson, CMC, Jacobs. Obviously, all those guys have been hurt, but that's how you sell it. That's how you sell it anyway. Sure. Look, he's also had one of the highest snap percentage on the field with 74% this past week. So I think this is an opportunity for you to sell him. Look, if you really look at his schedule and his points that he had every single game, it's actually all against teams that give up a lot of points. If you even start from week one, New England 12, Vegas 10. And then, obviously, he had the one crazy game in Tampa with 31 points. And then you go to Atlanta, 17. Houston, 14. Jets, 18 points. If you look at the schedule, once again, on the opposite side, Bills, less than 10. Indy, less than 10. Jacksonville, less than 10. Buffalo, less than 10. Baltimore, less than 10.
I mean,
10.
You're being generous there. Buffalo, less than 9.
Yeah, I am being...
Indianapolis, less than 1.
I am being generous.
Jacksonville, less than 3.
Yeah, so like... It's
so hit or miss.
Yeah, it's very hit or miss. So I'm definitely trading Myles Gaskin away. I just need consistency. In that playoff schedule, he only has one. If we're going off this trend that I'm seeing, he only has one good game, and that's the Jets. The rest, New Orleans and Tennessee, who don't give up a lot of points to the running back position. I mean, you expect him to get less than 10 points, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And I think you probably need to do this move now because they face Carolina next week. And
I think I'm
despite
trading,
what we saw last week, I believe in the Carolina defense still.
Yeah, I'm trading someone like Josh Jacobs, or trading for someone like Josh Jacobs.
Right.
Mind you, he still haven't had his bye. I didn't say that. He hasn't had his bye week
true
yet. So that's another way you can sell him. I'm looking for someone, like a Josh Jacobs, in my opinion, that can at least get me, I think, 8 to 10 points minimum per week.
Hey, shout out to me who traded Myles Gaskin in week 4 after his 0.3 point performance, and he's been pretty good since then. So shout out to me for being an absolute dumbass. But I do agree. I think now is the time to
trade him. I still think you won that trade because you got Mitchell. So,
well, what did that trade look like?
It was Mitchell. It was Mitchell for Knox. No, it was... I know I received... Kadarius Toney or Sterling.
You received Sterling,
Miles,
Knox
and Gaskin. And I forgot.
And I got Mitchell,
Tyler Boyd. There you go.
And something else. I don't remember. So it's hard to say who won. But I did turn Mitchell into, like, with a package into, I think it was a package of Jalen Waddle and Najee Harris. But I gave up James Robinson as well. And anyway, yeah, hard to say. Man. I look back at some trades and I'm frustrated that I did them, but other trades I'm like, dang, got out at the right time.
Damn boy.
All right. I think that's it for today. That felt like a lot of podcast, but it wasn't too long. It wasn't over an hour.
Yeah, it felt like a lot, but I mean, it's okay.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow with the last podcast of the week. See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you.
the one listening to this podcast, you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. Because you deserve it.